Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is a March 21st edition of the MSP Initiative, MSP Talk. Man, this month has gone by at warp speed, at least for me. Been on the road for 10 days, and time flies by when you're in planes, but I say. Some housekeeping we're getting out of the way right now. We do have an event coming up next week, so if you're in Dallas, within driving distance of Dallas, feel like you want to get on a plane and go to Dallas, or actually going to Enables Empower in Dallas, we can't wait to see you, because we will be running an MSP community block party, you know, one of the favorite things we do here at MSP Initiative, with the great folks at Enable for their event. So MSPinitiative.com. If you don't know how to spell initiative, put it in Google. It'll spell check you. Copy and paste. MSPinitiative.com. This session is being recorded like every other session we've ever done. And it will be under sessions on MSPinitiative.com. It'll be in your podcatcher. So if you want to listen to it on your iPhone, feel free, or Android, or whatever app you use. Of course, we post these on YouTube as well. So like, share, follow, all that good stuff. Of course, we have MSP Community Minds coming up in Nashville next month. So we're really close. This is a totally educational event with MSP panels and MSP workshops. This is not death by PowerPoint. We want you to actually come and learn something tangible, not just the idea of something, but the actual execution of it. So here you can see all of our MSP panelists and all of our workshops. You will not be disappointed. By the way, we charge absolutely nothing for you to, as an MSP, register and join us for this event. Yes, you do have to get there. I understand that that costs you something, but there's no $3.99, $9.99, $12.99 registration fee. Doesn't exist. It's absolutely free for the community. Take advantage for you. No trade show floor. How about that? And then, of course, we got our community block parties, right? So, by the way, that's April 17th and 18th in Nashville for Community Minds. So the Community Block Party, again, we have Enable and Power coming up in Dallas. I think the event goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Our Block Party will be Tuesday night, 8:30 to close. We'll be providing transportation. So this will be updated transportation back and forth to the conference hotel. So if you are going to Enable and Power, don't worry. No rental cars, Ubers, or alike. We will get you to and from. For everyone else, we're having our event at Sidecar Social in Frisco, Texas, taking over the whole joint. I promise it'll be fun. They always are. If you don't have fun, then I think you're just having a bad day. But that's just me. We have some community offers. These are just deals and hookups, you know, from other vendors in the space that might benefit you. Feel free to take a look at those. Then we have our industry calendar. The very great guru behind the scenes, Jen, is constantly updating this. There's like almost 300 events in here for the whole year. We're constantly adding more as they show up in our inboxes. So if you don't know what's going on in the sandbox, check it out. There's plenty to do. MSPinitiative.com. It is all there. And that is my housekeeping. Here's Keith Nelson. He's already started. He's like, not everyone can afford first class travel like George. That's not true, Keith, because you really do travel first class, limo, lounge, the whole thing. So I digress. And he says, at least you're holding a block party in the capital of the world, home of America's only sports team, the Dallas Cowboys. Actually, to that point, Mr. Nelson, the Dallas Cowboys practice facility is like apparently with visible from where the block party in Frisco, Texas is going to be. And I told them to like put up something to block the Dallas Star, because we don't want to see that. I'm sure he's not going to be happy about that. Anyway, our guest today, if you happen to follow the great folks over at The Channel Company or CRN, or have ever attended an exchange event, which are held by, yes, the same very people, Channel Company, I would like to bring on for the very first time, CJ, to the show. How are you doing today, CJ?
I'm doing fantastic.
CJ, you are very proud of your New Jersey living.
Damn right. Everyone hates us, but we love ourselves too much to care. Which, by the way, I will be at this MSP Initiative party, and I told you and your team that it's my birthday on Saturday, so I'm using that as my birthday party. I just bought some birthday glasses, and I'm inviting people from Dallas in the channel that are coming, that I'm like, just come on.
Come on down. You're
you
the next
said it. So
number one, happy birthday in advance.
Thanks.
I've been on the road for 10 days. There was a very real possibility I was not going to be there for your birthday party slash block party, but worked out. I'm going to be there, so I'm going to be able to join the celebration. Yay!
It's not really it's not about me. I'm just going to celebrate myself. You guys can just do
Oh no, there will be plenty of celebrating you, I hear. That's what I hear through the grapevine. But no problem. You should absolutely
curse. It's the jersey in me.
Oh no. And as a guy from the other side of the bridge in Philadelphia, I understand and respect the taking over vibe. All good. You have our permission. Enjoy. Happy birthday to the Majin CJ, the most famous person in the channel. Oh, there you go.
No.
So I'm sure she loves that, Keith. So happy birthday in advance. Can't wait to see you. This block party is going to be great. And yeah, the great folks at Enable throw a pretty good event. We myself and Mr. Stanners, who you know very well, traveled all the way to Prague last year for the European version of this event, which was pretty cool. Although it took us three planes, two trains, and 16 hours to get there. A little bit easier to get to Dallas, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you have a direct flight, CJ.
I do. I have to drive to Newark.
Ah, fly from Newark too.
Oh, look at that. Are we in the same flight? When are you leaving?
No, you're going to get in earlier than me, I promise.
Okay.
It's okay. So, I would love, I love to take these all over the place. I actually put one Jen Morrison behind the camera not too long ago. It was a very interesting session.
I saw it.
Awesome. So, this is like open mic. We can go all over the place.
I'm gonna let you be the reporter because I'm on PTO this week. I'm literally just doing this for you. I'm literally not working all week, but I put on some mascara, and I'm not being reporter this week. You can be the reporter, and I'll just answer the questions.
Okay, all right. What made you get into like journalism as a career?
I was always really good at English, like in English class. I didn't always want to be a reporter. Like, I wanted to be a chiropractor at one point. I wanted to be a wedding planner at one point, and I hate weddings. I always liked the act of taking notes. Like, in high school, when, like, I had a history teacher, like, he wrote all the chalkboard. We had to take, like, pages and pages of notes, and everyone, like, complained because hurt your hand. I loved it. I loved taking notes. I guess I love telling stories, and I just thought it'd be really cool to like see my name on a byline. Like I thought if I worked at a publication to be like some fancy, like have you ever seen the Devil Wears Prada?
Mm-hmm.
So like a fancy office like that, like runway and like, it's not like that. But I just thought it'd be cool to see my name on a byline, and it's not a cool story, but that's it.
Hey, listen, like everybody has like when they dream of what they want to be when they grow up, right? Like,
well, I didn't want to always, I figured this out in like my mid 20s.
Okay.
Like back to school. And I was like, let me get my act together. I don't want to be waiting tables at 30. And so it wasn't like a lifelong dream. Said I wanted to be a million other things, but it worked out. So
that's good. Well, you found something that you like. Keith Nelson pops in. He says, my lovely, amazing daughter is getting married in May, major event. Someone spoiled her. Well, yes, I assume the checkbook is wide open there, Mr. Nelson. And you spared no expense. For the wedding planners out there, what an interesting job you all must have, because indecisiveness must be the kryptonite to that industry.
I think it's a waste of time, weddings.
Okay.
Waste of money.
All right.
I'm not married. I don't want to be married. I hate weddings.
Okay.
I'm not harping on it, but you would never see me walk down an aisle.
Okay.
And I just spend the money on a honeymoon. I don't know. I also don't like being the center of attention, so I don't want to be like a bride.
Oh.
I woke up and chose hate today, so this is what you're getting today.
That's
George.
Okay. That's okay. Like, this is good. Now we know you picked, you didn't pick the wedding planning career if you're not about weddings.
I think growing up, I liked weddings because who does it? And it's like my early 20s. But once I got older, I got more cynical and I just hate everything.
Okay.
It's part of journalism.
Hey, like you have to be critical. That's part of your gig, right? That's what makes it good.
Yeah.
You were able to finally, like you live in this Philly, like,
don't say radius. Philly area. No.
Radius.
No. I live in Jersey.
Radius. Like, it's an hour from you, right?
Don't offend me like that.
No, hold on. You were able to finally go to an Eagles game.
Yes, thanks to you.
How did you like it?
I was good. One and done. I'd never been to an NFL game. Okay. And I don't really care for the Eagles. I used to like them, but I know it's been a long time, but I'm a dog mom. And when they signed Michael Vick, they were dead to me. I know he doesn't play for the team anymore. I know he did his time. Still dead to me. But I was like, George, let's go to an Eagles game. And it was fun. And I picked a good game. It was the Dolphins. I literally based when I wanted to go on the weather. I was like, a late October, like a little chill in the air. And it was great. The weather was great. They won. Bradley Cooper was in the stadium. And I had a lot of fun. Me, you, Stanners, and your friend. And so I've already said thank you, but thanks for...
I'm just glad, even though it was... Here we go. I couldn't wait for Keaton. Eagles are not a real NFL team. The real fans are on the sidelines for the games. Okay, that's fine. I'll take that. Whatever you say there, Keith. But he's a Dallas fan, so just point that out.
That doesn't matter.
But no, I'm glad you had a good time. Sad to hear it's a one and done. They're so fun. You know, I know it's an all-day thing, but...
I go again. I want to go all the time.
Okay, that's cool. So the Eagles open up the NFL season in Brazil in September. Okay.
Cool.
Isn't that cool? Would you, yeah, you know, like, that's something I think I would go to.
Would you pay for my flight to go to Brazil? Because
I don't know.
Is that on or off
the record? I'm just kidding.
We're off the record all week because I'm not working.
Jen said, CJ, what if I go?
You can take Jen, but if you would take me and Jen, the answer is always yes.
Okay. All right. Which, by the way, not long ago, you and the famous Jen Morrison decided to, you know, go to a Broadway show.
Hang out.
How was that?
It was amazing. So me and Jen are obsessed with Bravo, obviously. And Ariana Maddox on Vanderpump Rules, who was like, just bow down. She's playing Roxy Hart on Chicago for like a short stint. It got extended, maybe it's like 10 weeks. And as soon as it got announced, I text Jed, like I were always messaging each other on Instagram. And I was like, can we go? And her response was, fuck yes. And so my sister always goes to Broadway. So I looped her in. And the best part about the whole experience, and I told you this already, was, you know, Jen's kind of famous on Instagram. She has this Bravo, I don't want to say parody. No, she is, I'm telling you. I don't want to say it's a parody account, but she's like a Bravo. Record,
I totally support and endorse this channel. I am like totally encouraging people to go to her channel all the time.
It is so serious. Anyway, so like she's known in like the Bravo works for her Instagram account. And she posted that she was there like before the show started, like a photo of the theater or whatever. And people messaged her that were like, oh my God, you're here, we're here. And like during intermission, these girls came over to Jen and they were like, can we get a picture with you? Like doesn't matter that there's like actual Broadway stars on the stage. These girls would get a picture with Jen. And I was like, absolutely, I'll take the picture. And so I was starstruck by Jen. It was amazing. And then we went to dinner and it was a good time.
She's famous and in the bubble.
She really is.
I'm glad you had a great time. Very exciting to see Jen, you know, grow in her, you know, in her stardom there online, you know, especially when she gets stopped by airline stewardesses and people in the airport and all sorts of cool stuff.
She's more famous than me. So,
well, let's pivot and talk about that for a second. So you've been working at Channel Company for how long exactly?
It'll be 3 years in June.
And you've written a lot of content, articles and interviews and all sorts of stuff in your time, like hundreds of pieces, probably. If you were to like summarize so far what your opinion is on like the IT MSP industry, what would you say? Like, you know, like 30,000 foot overview.
Well, as an ethical reporter, I don't write about my opinion or discuss.
Well, but you're not on the record. This is you.
On the record. What is my take on the IT channel?
Yes.
It's funny. I was actually talking to my friend about this last night. I was like, it's fucking awesome. I never valued or cared about community. Cause I'm like, oh, whatever. Like I never was like involved in my community, like where I grew up. Like, I'm not involved in my community where I grew up, like where I am now. But like, the community is like badass, and there's so many good people in here. I never want to leave. Like, I'm so glad, like, this is my journey that I got here, because like, everyone here is badass. Most people, there's some bad apples, but who, what if she doesn't have bad apples? But everyone here is badass, and I never want to leave. And you guys do a lot of important work. Like, I remember when I first started, because I didn't know what the hell I was writing about for the first 6 months. And like, I told my editor Jen this when I did the interview. I was like, I don't know this, what I'm writing about. She was like, you know, journalism, like, we want journalists and we'll teach you the tech. So over time, just writing it, I got like, I literally had no idea what the hell I was talking about or writing about for the first 6 months. Like, I just quoted everyone. I was like, you guys are the experts. But the more I learned about it, the more you guys really are like, the MSPs are like the backbone of like, and I'll explain it to people that are not in the channel. Like, my friend last night, I was like, okay, and he works for like some HR company. I was like, okay, so when your computer does not work, you put in a help desk ticket. That person, and I just, from there, went all. So the MSP industry is, the channel's a lot of fun, and I make a lot of people jealous on my, like, Facebook and Instagram, because, like, I'm just traveling a lot and, like, hanging out with people and partying and, like, meeting Nelly at PAX 8, and so life is good. Because of the channel. The channel is, I love, the community is the best, and a lot, everyone in the industry is amazing, and we do a lot of important, good, important work.
Okay, that's a great synopsis. So you interview a lot of executives, right? CEOs, founders, you know, product people all day long, right?
Yeah.
What's your, you know, I'm not going to say secret, right? It's your profession. How do you get, like, authentic information out of those people versus marketing information when you're interviewing someone?
I think it really is developing a relationship with them. Because when you don't know them, it's very transactional.
Mm.
Like, I'm a perfect example. The first time I interviewed Jason McGee, the CEO of ConnectWise, I'm like 4 months into the job. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And it was very like transactional, just like I asked a question, he answered it. Like, very over time, I've interviewed him a lot. We talk at IT Nation, like, it's now like a report where like, it's just, I can BS with him on calls, like, and he can BS with me on calls. So you just kind of have to develop a relationship with them where it's still an interview, but it's very conversational. So that's why I've gotten that a lot. Like, you're like, you could, it's just easy. Perfect. Another example, I interviewed Scott Barlow with Sophos back in our Next Gen show at Houston in October. And I'd never met him before. I'd never spoken to him, but my friend Rob Ray said good things about him. And so I was like, I did an interview with Scott, and we ended up talking for 45 minutes. And like, a good chunk of that was not about the channel. We were talking about rocks, because he's into like rocks or something. But he told me, he was at Exchange a few weeks ago, and he told me that he was like, I did an interview recently, and it was just like so awkward. It was such a bad interview. The interview was like, you know, transactional, question, answer, question. He was like, but with you, it was just a conversation, and we were talking about geology, and like, we're talking about, so it just developing a rapport with people where they're more fluid and they're more relaxed when you develop that relationship. I'm sorry I ramble.
No, that was actually really good. I enjoyed that answer. Keith Nelson says, I'm so sorry for being the one bad apple in the channel. Oh, yeah. Keith, you're definitely not who we're talking about. But thanks for putting your hand up there. As part of your, you know, your role, right, you get to go places, right? You get to see a lot of events, which is a very event-driven industry, let's be honest. In your opinion, and of course, Channel Company runs their own events too, very successful ones. What makes a good event from your perspective? And then what makes a bad event?
I should say like great content, but no, to hang out with my friends and good parties. Like, MSP initiative parties are a lot of fun. I get my work done. But you know, I get to meet like, you know, cool celebrities. Like, because of you, I got to meet All American Rejects and Mark McGrath. And I got to meet Nelly at PAX 8 Beyond last year, which, you know, as my 13-year-old self was, I'm you gotta remember, I'm not an MSP, so the content isn't geared toward me. Yes, I can go to a million sessions and a million breakouts, and I cover the keynotes and I interview the CEOs of these companies, but I do that every day. So it's just, yeah, it's fun to interaction face to face and stuff like that, but I get to travel. I mean, I get to travel and hang out. Like, and honestly, it's so funny. I was telling people this earlier. I was like, I just started to go out at night, like at the bar or whatever, just because like we're in a hotel for 3 days. I'm not going to sit in my room and be lonely. I'm just going to have a drink and like BS with people. And it's turned into like friendships and networking. That's where most of my stories happen. Like, I found out Rob Wright was going to PAX 8 at the bar at NextGen last year. So like, it's really like, it's not working. I'm not working, but it's networking and building those relationships. And that's how people trust me. And then I kind of get the story scoops. So That's the travel and the face-to-face, you know, I don't know if I answered your question, but.
No. I said from your perspective, right? So that's what we're looking for. Because you've done a lot of traveling, like what's your favorite city for an event?
Not Orlando. my favorite city.
Popular one.
Okay, well, of course, my favorite city in the world is London. I have it tattooed. I got my, I have a London water bottle. I got my masters over there. London's my favorite city. So I would like to go to London. I've yet to go to London, although I bother my team, my boss's boss all the time about it because they're in London. U.S. city? Okay, first time I went to Nashville was last August for exchange. And I've been sleeping on Nashville. I was like, this is a time. I compared it. I was like, it's like Vegas, but all the girls are like girls next door. Mm. Like, I'm not a Southern girl by any means, but I was sleeping on Nashville. I think it's only what, like an hour and a half plane ride from here. And Nashville might be a new contender. San Diego, I really like San Diego.
Okay. San Diego when it's nice outside, not when it's flooding.
Oh my god. When we were there, it was like freezing. There was like storms. Oh my god, it was awful.
Yeah. I was just there again this past week with Jen. And I was like, man, this place is completely different from a month ago when it was underwater.
I'm dying for some nice weather. It's cold here.
Yeah. Well, I guess I was a little bit spoiled. I was in Australia for a week and then I hit, you know, stopped in San Diego on the way back. Finally got home yesterday. So there's a lot of good weather there over 10 days.
That's why you look like you're falling asleep right now. You're still not like...
I'm in actually okay shape. Maybe Jen's the one that needs a little bit of sleep. Apparently, she spent as much time in traffic yesterday as she just was on the plane back from San Diego. I don't know if that's 100% true, but...
Connecticut, yeah, it is.
Yeah, I often say that about Connecticut, the traffic patterns there. It's not great. Not great for driving. We always talk about airport and travel stuff, right? Because there's just so many stories that spawn from moving around, right? What's your funniest travel story?
I don't really have a funniest travel story.
No, everything just worked.
Wait, I'll see what's the other day. So back in September, I was at Ingram Micro's event in Nashville the second time. But I had to leave early and go to Trace 3's event in Vegas. And so I go and I was judging. There's an award they give out, the Tracy Conference. It's called an Outlier Award. It was my second year judging it. And that night there was like a soiree with like the judges and like the candidates and like the CEO I know, Rich Fennessy, all in this like really bougie suite in the one of the casinos over in Vegas. And so I'm running around, I'm at Ingram Micro, I'm doing interviews, I gotta like midday, get the airport. They put me on Southwest, and I'm not a fan of Southwest for multiple reasons, but like just the seating thing. Like I will pay for, don't put me in a line. It was awful. So yeah, of course I got like a middle seat, whatever. There were like three crying babies on this flight to Vegas. Who's bringing babies to Vegas? I don't freaking know. But I hate children. Sorry. And I hate children crying, especially on planes. And so I'm like so over it. Like three crying babies. I'm like, get me to friggin'. So now I have to like, I literally have to like run, change, and go to this like soiree and up some in some suite. And so I get changed really quick. And at this point, I needed a drink hours ago. So I show up to the suite. And it, again, it's like me and the other judges, it's a few of the contestants, and they're all basically CIOs, like enterprise companies, a few execs from Trace 3, whatever. And like, when I walk in, they're like, oh, the CEO, Rich, is just about to make a speech. I'm like, okay, good. So like, I sneak in and everyone's like circled around and like a big, like, because CEO is about to speak, Rich. And he's like, oh, introduce yourself. And I'm just like, hi, I'm CJ. I'm a reporter with CRN. I just got off the plane with three babies and I need a drink. I just like spun it out. Everyone laughed. I didn't know everyone in the room. So one of the guys in the room was Jerry Rice.
Oh.
The football Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Because he was like a speaker. They have like a, you know, we saw like a football guy there. And I guess they invited him to this. And I don't know football. Like Jerry Rice probably played before my time. Like I don't watch football. And so like all night, because afterwards I got a drink and I'm like working the room and talking to the contestants because I've seen them before because I had to like view their videos and stuff. And I see Jerry on the couch and I knew he was afterwards because he was on stage the next day doing a keynote with Joe Montana. And I see, so I remember like seeing Jerry on the couch and I'm like, I don't know who that is. I'm not going to go talk to him. Like just, so that's kind of a long-winded plain story. But there was, three crying toddlers and I burst into a suite telling people I need a drink and there's just Jerry Rice probably standing there like, who's this bitch?
That's funny. Keith Nelson says, I'm not a Russian operative like George, so I breeze through TSA, never a problem. I believe that. It must be the beard. That being said, our favorite Jen, who's behind the scenes, apparently, I think it was her parents didn't like, were like, hey, there was some NFL coach at this restaurant we were at, and I was like, oh yeah, who was it? He's like, I'm not sure. And I was like, what team did he play for? He's like, I think Pittsburgh. And I'm like, yeah, Callahan. And she's like, who's that? Like, the guy who's on TV every Sunday for CBS. It used to be the Pittsburgh Steelers coach.
Nope, they're like, that is.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. NFL. What an industry. But if it was Bravo.
We would talk all day.
You would know exactly. Mm-hmm. Were you there when somebody, like one of the Bravo's divorced husbands in Nashville, was at the event?
Yes. Jen was the one that was like, Bronwyn's husband's here. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so because I'm a reporter, I just went up to him like, hi, I'm CJ with CRM, whatever. I was talking to him and his son. And I actually went up to him the next day. And I was like, I would love to do a story on you actually. Cause like he was running the MSP. I'm blanking on his name right now. Jen's going to kill me. Sean. And he's running his MSP. And he actually brought his son on. His son was running like a piece of the MSP. So I thought it was a really cool story. Like it's passing down the baton to the next generation. He's like, yeah, I'll do it, whatever. And I followed up with like a DM and he never responded. So Sean, Bronwyn's ex-husband, if you're listening, still love to do a story on you and your son.
You should have Jen send him a message from her channel. Maybe
he'll respond. Honestly, she probably would get a contact. She probably would get a response. So
yeah. Well, just don't ask her about how many messages are unread in her mailbox there. It's a lot.
Yeah. I would love to read them.
Hey, that can be arranged. Maybe.
Yeah. Let's, yeah.
From the, the fact that you've written so many stories, so many, informational pieces, some exciting pieces, some community pieces, like, so you've been doing this for 3 years, which seems like it's a lot longer, but in reality, it's not a lot of time. What's your favorite MSP story you've written so far?
1000% the Mike Cullen obituary I wrote in January. Mike Cullen, like the godfather of the RMM, died in January. And that was fun because it wasn't a story about tech. It was a human interest piece. No, it's not fun that someone died. That's not good. But I thrive in human interest pieces. That's what I used to write about in my newspaper days. And while I learned to like to write about, partner programs and new software platforms and stuff like that, like human interest pieces, they're fun to read. And also they're fun to write. And so for that story I wrote about Mike Cullen, I also learned a lot. Like I talked to It was 12 to 15 people from that store, for that story, from, you know, Mark Scott, the founder of Enable, to colleagues of Mike's, to customers, to old coworkers, like to people who like knew him virtually. And it was, and I got to learn a lot about one, the industry, because Mike's been there since the beginning of time. And I got to learn about Mike, because I only got to interview Mike once, and I didn't know his stature when I met him. I was like, he was just another guy at Enable. So I got to know a lot about him, and I got to talk to a lot of people, and they just put their guards down. Like, I had a few people on the phone with me for the story crying, like, you know, because their friend died. And so it wasn't about a partner program, although that stuff's important. This was just about a person who made an impact, and I like literally cleared my schedule for 3 days and only worked on this story. I was like, I want to do this guy justice, this guy, this whole industry justice. He deserves it. And I mean, it's awful because someone died, but I really enjoyed writing that story. And the responses I got a response from Mike Cullen's son, thanking me for the piece. And I got a lot of people just like, and it's not about me whatsoever, but I really enjoyed writing that piece. Because I didn't get to write about tech for it. And though I liked writing about tech, it was human interest stories are where I thrive.
Awesome. That's good. That's really good to know. You don't have to answer this one, but what about the most controversial story you've written?
I know what you want me to say.
I'm throwing out ball.
It had to be, well, there's two, but what I'm a string of controversial stories, I would say the Kaseya data acquisition, because there was a lot of emotions with that. But the most controversial, I would say, and I'm blanking on this company, is there was a guy that went on LinkedIn and said that his product makes you 100% secure. And then Kyle Hanselman got in the comments. Do you know what I'm talking about? It was like 2 summers ago. Do you remember what was the name of the company? I forget. I write so much. And it like a slew of just, there was like mudslinging back and forth. Wait, maybe if I Google mudslinging, CJCRN, I forget what it, Exidium. It was Exidium. Exidium CEO. Execs claim that Exidium stops all malware, ignites MSP social media firestorm. Man, that was so much fun. And this guy was just doubling down. That said, like,
got to be careful.
You know, we make you 100% secure. And people in the comments. I mean, I remember it was August. I was sitting on the beach enjoying my Saturday, and I had someone text me like, oh, you should see this. And I didn't want it to like get deleted. So I was on the beach just screenshotting the entire thread. And yeah, that was the most controversial. I was like, this is grown men just going at it on social media. It was very fun for me to watch.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Everybody go back and read that one. That was the most controversial. And to your point, right? A lot of back and forth on the Kaseya data one. That was like 6 months of interesting times. What do people get wrong about your side of the aisle, right? Like media, like reporting, what do people either get confused, or they misinterpret, or they have the wrong perception about that part of the industry?
So I don't get it as much in the channel, because I feel like people are smarter in the channel. But when I was a local news reporter, like, I mean, you just have people that just, you know, read everything and believe everything they see on Facebook. And, you know, I entered the industry under the Trump administration when he was like, fake news media. And so I have people be like, you just write what you think about. I'm like, you clearly don't understand journalism. I'm not a blogger. It is impounded into my brain in undergrad and grad school. If I write fake news, I'll never work in this industry again. That we don't make things up. I interview people that know what they're talking about for the most part, and I write what they say and I record everything. So I can back up what you said, if you didn't say it, if you did whatever. So to hold myself and the source accountable. So I don't get it as much. I don't really get it as much in this. It's funny, like in local news, you know, we got trashed on all the time. Just people, readers emailing us and being like, you write, you know, just spewing whatever. But when I came into the channel, a lot of people have respect for the media. And people say to me, they're like, we love CRN. We love what you guys do. And, you know, so it's just, you know, it's the small-minded people that, you know, are just like, fake news media. And I'm like, in my previous jobs, I'm like, I don't get paid enough to write fake news. So, no. That's my answer.
Uh-oh. Keith Nelson just gave us a story back from... back in the day. I'll let that one sit. You can read that one later. No, you did not write it. He was saying he was interviewed on CNN. Anyway, we'll touch on that one offline. So, but thank you for sharing that, Keith. So you went to your, like, when you say you went back to school, I just wanted to catch this right. You went and got your master's in the UK?
Yes.
What school was that?
It was Brunel University. It's in the London metropolitan area, but it's more of like the suburbs. It's right by Heathrow. It's like 5 miles from Heathrow. It's one of the like top 50 schools in London. It's really big for engineering. It's named after Isambard Brunel, who was a big engineer. Apparently he like designed like Paddington Station or something. I don't, you know, fact check me on that because I didn't do engineering.
What made you want to go to, like, just change the scenery, or?
No, I was getting my bachelor's at Rowan University in New Jersey, and I had transferred in from community college. I was only at Rowan for 2 years, and a year before I was about to graduate, I was just like, and I was later, because I dropped out of school and went back, so I was, like, in my late 20s at this point, and I just didn't feel like I was ready to, like, go into the workforce and, like, start being, like, a real adult, which I'm still not a real adult, whatever, but literally, it was such a spontaneous thought. I was like, I think I'll go to grad school. I think I'll go to London. Because I thought I didn't have to learn the language, which if anywhere in at least Western Europe, you can speak English. But and I have family there. My grandma was born and raised there, came to America after the war. And so she, like, I still have cousins there. So I was just like, yeah, I'll go to London. And then the process was tedious. I applied to like 9 schools. If they had like grad school housing and took student US student loans, I applied. I had like a journalism program, obviously. I got into 7. The last two, I don't even know because I just already picked my college without even worrying about the last two letters. Yeah, just went over there, got to get to know my family over there a lot. But I've known that I've met them before, but I just decided to go to London.
That's cool. And how old are you? 2 years, 3 years, 4 years?
No, their grad school over there, their full-time grad program there is only 1 year. I was actually there for 9 months. And it was really easy. Like, and I was an international course. So all my course mates were from all over the world, Egypt, Italy, Belarus, Colombia, some were British. The semester was just regular, like a regular US semester. And then the spring semester was like short. It was like 2.5 months. And then we basically had like the rest of spring and summer to write our dissertation, our thesis, essentially. But the coursework was really easy. And I didn't only, not the only one said that, because my roommate was from Montana, and we're like, we're bored. Like we're bored. Like that's not, we're not complaining, but I was like, this is a cakewalk schooling over there. Not saying all schools over there are cakewalk, but for some reason, I guess we, you know, pack all the coursework in the U.S.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like you at least got a little bit of time out of the country, which is cool because you always get to experience different things, right?
Right.
We love America, but, you know, once you do leave the borders, you know, you get a different perspective, I think.
Yes, you do. I traveled all around Europe, too, all around Western Europe. So I got to, I'm like, oh, guess we're not the best country in the world. So
that's the opening line to Newsroom. Did you ever watch that series?
I don't think so. No.
If you get a chance,
pull it on up. Bravo?
It's not on Bravo. Newsroom was on HBO.
Okay.
But pull up, check it out on YouTube. Look, just say opening pilot, you know, for Newsroom, and you'll see. It's like a 10-minute clip. You'll love it. I promise. I'm going to come back and chat with you on
it. Send it to me. I don't feel like Googling. Just send
it. I will. I will send it to you for sure. If you were to give anyone advice on going into media, any kind of media, what would you tell them?
Oh, that's a good question. Because I love, like, I used to love, like, helping the interns. I'm going to give you the easiest advice I ever got. And the best advice I ever got in journalism is always details matter. Always, always, always get the name of the dog and the flavor of the ice cream. That is, if you're going to journalism, details matter. Don't be vague. Just always, like I said, triple check spellings of names. Even sometimes we get those wrong, but we always fix them. Always get the flavor of the ice cream, the name of the dog. Another good piece of advice I always got was you can't write everything. You just can't write everything. So just, that's like, I don't know if it's the best advice for media, but if you're going to be in journalism, just little things.
Do you feel like the actual, like, writing out an article, you know, is versus, like, digital, right? Like, videos, photos, like, that kind of stuff. Do you feel like, I don't know, it's kind of like a little bit of a lost art now because so many people are going towards, like, the, you know, real-time, you know, kind of social media style, you know, stuff?
Think so. I think they can play hand in hand. I think it's great that, like, everything's instant, like with, like, Twitter. Like, I got a lot of my news on Twitter, and because I follow a lot of news outlets or, like, the trending stuff, like, I see a lot of stuff on Twitter. I don't think it's a lost art. I mean, I prefer to read an article than, like, I don't, like, watch the news. I prefer, like, read articles online and stuff like that, but I don't think it's like, am I answering your question? I don't think it's a loss.
No, I was curious to see what your thought was.
There's a lot of different ways. The best thing about the internet is, and smartphones, there's a lot of different ways you can get your news. You know, I know people who get their news off TikTok, like I get most of my news, like, on Twitter. Like, I've been following this whole Kate Middleton scandal for, like, 3 weeks now. So it's probably news, but everyone's talking about it, at least on my Twitter. But there's a lot of ways you can consume news. I mean, we live in a world where, like, 6-second videos are a thing, or like 3-minute clips are shortened. Like, so you like to read the news. My mom, you know, reads the physical newspaper, and she watches the 6 o'clock news from Action News in Philly every night, the 5 o'clock news, and we all get our news different. And I think that's fine. As long as it's factual and it's not just, like, fake news, get your news however you want.
Awesome. I love it. I wonder if your company will let you go back to London. That'd be interesting. There's CRN London.
I ask them all the time. So Stuart Sumner, he just got a promotion. And I'm sorry. He's, like, the chief content or something. He's, like, a head of all media. And he is amazing. And so every time I see him, I saw him at Women in the Channel. I saw him a few weeks ago at Exchange, because we have Exchange London. And I was like, Stuart, can I come to London, please? And then I started asking Alan Loader, who's, like, basically runs our whole EMEA business. I'm like, Stuart, can I come to London? Like, Alan, can I come to London? Every time I see them, I beg them. I'm like, I'll stay with my cousins. I'll even save you the money. Like, I bother them with, can I please come to London? They're probably just like, CJ, shut up by now. But
I always can't get if you can't get if you don't ask, right?
Exactly.
Where will we see you? I mean, like, I'm sure you go to a ton of events and probably get invited to them to write articles and stuff. But where will we see you? Yeah, throughout the year, do you know specific things that you're already scheduled to go to?
I'm scheduled to go to Enable next week, so see you at Enable in Dallas. Nothing's set in, but I'm probably going. You'll see me at Women the Channel in May in Palm Springs. I've been going every year, so I'm going to say you'll see me there. IT Nation Secure in June in Orlando, PAX 8 Beyond also in June in Denver. The fall, you know, like Anger Micro is having their event. IT Nation is having their event. That's the only thing I can think of. Our Women the Channel's in New York in December. But, like, that's the fall. So I can really think of, like, 3 months from now.
Okay. All good. Like the exchange? Like, sure. I'm sure the answer is going to probably be yes. You like the exchange events?
Like all the events I go to.
What would you say is one of the best things for somebody who hasn't been to an exchange event from a, you know, an MSP standpoint? Why would you say they should maybe take a look?
So the good thing, the one thing I really like about exchange is that we always have new MSPs that never attended before. Like, I think every show was like 70% of MSPs have never attended an exchange before. So it's new content to them. It's maybe like for, especially for you vendors, like it's new faces possibly to, you know, to get in front of. It's more people just to meet. Like you see all the same people at events, and I love that because like most of them are my friends. But you get to see new faces. And why are you smirking?
It's a good answer.
I do like who. Because we have like, you know, I'm grateful, like we have the same sponsors, we usually have the same, you know, companies that do keynotes and stuff like that, but you're talking to a new audience, and then I get to see new faces as well, so I get to meet new people and be like, oh, you're a PAX 8 partner, cool, I cover PAX 8, we're gonna be friends now, and I'm gonna call you and stuff like that. So it's always to meet new people and always to get new people involved is pretty cool.
That is cool. So we already heard some of the famous people, right? You met the 49ers in a or at least two of them in a suite coming off a plane with three
famous. Well, they played for the 49ers. I don't even know. Jerry Rice and Joe Montana.
Yeah. Yes. You met two of the like Hall of Fame 49ers in a suite after a plane with three babies. Then you met Nelly, right? That was PAX 8 Beyond Denver, right? All American Rejects. That was a block party we did at IT Nation.
Yep.
You met Mark McGrath last year at a block party at IT Nation. Who else are we missing?
I also met, I always forget it, Derek Jeter.
Oh.
I met Derek Jeter. He was very nice.
I hear he's nice.
I think in the channel, I think that might be it. I'm going to bust his balls and say I met Rob Ray because he like wants me to like fangirl on him. So yes, I met Rob Ray. Which
don't
I texted
Brian Winfax.
Rob, he didn't text me back. So
what was that, Jen?
I said, don't forget Braun Winzax. You met a
Braun. Oh yeah, Braun Winzax. Sean, I met, and he like forgot he was on Housewives. Like, how do you forget you're on Housewives? I think that's all like the famous, like that people know worldwide. I'm not, people don't know Rob Ray Ryan worldwide, but
We all know and love him. But yeah, I say he's not a real housewife of pick your city.
You're right. So I think that might be it.
You've seen a lot of companies, obviously, across your time, even for 3 years, right? You guys write about a ton of companies. How do companies get people excited about their stuff, right? Everybody has updates and partner programs, like you said, but like, have you found anyone that's figured out how to get people really engaged?
For media coverage or just like for life?
No, like media is part of the strategy, right? I mean, but like everybody just seems to be super informational and like some of it doesn't seem like people latch on, right? Like there's so much noise happening. I feel like sometimes MSPs are like, I can't even keep up with the vendors I'm doing business with.
Right.
It's noise. Like, unless I'm actually going somewhere or I read something bad, right? Outage, security incident, something like that, right? They're just not paying attention.
I feel like it doesn't come down to like a good marketing strategy, like how to get people excited about it. Like, everyone was excited about Microsoft Copilot being, you know, released or launched or whatever. So, I mean, obviously that whole getting people excited about it, it has to come with like a good marketing strategy. I don't know much about marketing. I'm not in marketing. But getting, you want to reach the largest audience and like hype it up. So that includes marketing, that includes media coverage. I don't know. I'm not a vendor. I don't watch things.
I know you talk to a lot of people, so I was just curious what you've seen that maybe may have been creative versus just the regular, you know, feed of information.
No, I think when you talk about it a lot, like I've written extensively, 2 magazines actually, about Ingram Micro Advantage. It's their new like business platform. And I write about a lot, so I can tell you all about it. But I think it just, you keep talking about it and you put a fun new way of like talking about it. And that goes back to like marketing, I guess. And don't just say like, this is the best thing ever. It's like first of its kind. Cause like, you can't really like prove that, I guess. So just let it speak for itself. Let the product, tool, whatever program speak for itself. And let your customers speak about it. I don't know. I think I'm the wrong person to ask that question, I guess. I don't know.
No, hey, listen, that's okay. They don't have to be, you know, like a little bit of
marketing, I guess. I don't know.
Marketing. What an interesting role in every company. Do you have something that, you know, like I know this is a kid thing. Sometimes I still do this, but although people say I'm very hard to shop for.
Okay.
Is there anything that you wish you were getting for your birthday?
No, I got it for myself. I finally wanted an Apple Watch.
Okay. And,
I wasn't on board with the Apple Watch thing, but when I'm at shows, I always have my phone in my hand because I don't like, you know, miss a text or a call, whatever. I'm like, it'd be nice if I could just put my phone in my pocket or my purse, because most women's clothes don't have pockets. And just have my watch. So I was going to buy myself the watch. But our insurance provider, our health insurance provider, was running a promotion for Apple Watches up to $300 covered. And you can pay it off just monthly installments, or you can earn rewards towards paying it off. And rewards are like 5,000 steps a day, get a flu shot, like stuff like that. So I got a brand new Apple Watch for $50 because it was like they covered up to $300 and my Apple Watch is $350. So
that's pretty cool.
I won an Apple Watch. I was like, I had to spend a lot of money this week. My washer broke, so I had to buy a new washer had to fix something on my car. So it's an expensive week over here, but I got a new Apple Watch. I just want to have a lot of fun in Dallas. Like, I'm not really doing anything other than adulting with my new washer over here this week. I'm going to dinner with my family Saturday night. I just want to go to Dallas and have fun, write the stories, see all my friends, see people that I've only known virtually. Like, there's an MSP coming over from London. I'm so excited to meet him because I talk to him all the time. And I just want to have fun at the MSP. So, like, you know, just be nice and like maybe buy me a drink.
Yeah. I'm sure plenty of drinks will
I'm not even a big drinker, but just, you know, I just want to have fun and like hang out with my friends. The MSP initial party is my birthday party for me personally, not for anyone else. I'm just going to have a good time.
Well, for all the MSPs that are joining us at the MSP Initiative Block Party Tuesday night in Frisco, Texas, nobody will be buying drinks. They're all included.
I'm on MSP, so.
But you're
bringing my wallet.
No, don't bring your. I mean, bring your ID. You're gonna need that.
Do I look under 21?
Some of these places, CJ. Like, if you ever really got behind the scenes of what the, you know, Jen has to deal with on a regular, for example, some of these places get pretty crazy, right? Like, they're just like, we're IDing everyone. Oh, okay, great. Like, nobody.
I'm excited when people ID me because I've waited tables. You're supposed to ID people if they look under 30.
Yeah.
And so I'm not under 30. And so when I get ID'd, I'm like, you think I'm that young? Thank you so much. My moisturizer is working.
Yeah. My ID stories aren't about age. They're about airports. Keith Nelson, I look under 30. Not a chance, Keith. So yes, we can't wait to see you next week. MSPinitiative.com, under parties, block parties, you'll see all the information about this upcoming event on Tuesday night. But again, if you're at the Enable Empower event, you'll see us in the conference schedule. All the information will be there. If you're just an MSP in the greater Dallas area, actually heard a couple MSPs are flying in just for the party. Okay, cool. Make sure to register so you don't get stuck in the line, having to do it on your phone last second. But we're going to have a great time. It's going to be CJ's birthday. You know, there may or may not have to be a whole, you know, building-wide birthday. Happy birthday, maybe.
Oh, you dare.
Oh, it may already be planned. I don't know what to tell you. Oops. Anyway, CJ, thank you for coming on. I know you're not usually on this side of the microphone, you know, so, but it was, hey, I got you on an off day. So, like, I feel like we got the
behind. Anything for you, George.
Thank you, CJ, for coming on. Guys, this session was recorded. Definitely check out crn.com. That's where you're going to get all of CJ's 3 years of cool articles that she's written. MSBinitiative.com, everything that we do. The session will be posted there. Information on the block party Tuesday night in Frisco. Please come out if you're an MSP. We're happy to have you join the birthday party and general celebration. If not, please keep on checking back. We do these, you know, usually twice a week. And if you're, you know, not coming to Dallas, I feel like we're going to Europe. We're all over here in the U.S. We're doing events. Going down to Australia a couple times this year. I know Jen can't wait. She wants to go shark diving if you want to join her. I don't know if I would do that, but that's on her list. So there you go. Thanks, everybody, for watching, and catch you on the next one.